Oh, good morning, everybody.
Good
we're gonna
morning.
get started. Mary's gonna bless you with the song.
And again, the music, of course, doesn't work.
That's
so
right.
I'm gonna have to sing a cappella. Hopefully, maybe it'll kick in.
It's Italian.
Irish Italian.
There you go.
Sorry, I'm trying to get it all.
Don't worry.
Well, I know, but...
Why don't you do it at the end, then?
No, I'll do it now. Okay.
That wasn't submissive.
Uh-oh.
Thank you.
I saved his life, you know. Nah. So 2 years ago today, Paul to the hospital. So 2 years later. So this is a song. Hopefully the music will come up. Just a little while longer, I wanna pray. Can't get you off my mind, so I came to say thank you, Lord, just for loving me. Many times I do forget every need that you have met. Oh, thank you, Lord. I know you're showing me. You are there when I'm down and out. You're holding me, your love is so amazing, oh, it changed me. Here I am with all I have, I raise my hands to worship you. I want to say thank you, oh, thank you, for everything, for who you are. You covered me and touched my heart. I want to say thank you. I could have died in my sins, but you saved me. I didn't have any hope at all. You gave me peace divine, strength to carry on. I should have been the one to pay, but instead you took my place. Amazing grace, it's more than just a song. Even though I don't deserve your love for me, you looked beyond my fault and you showed me mercy. Here I am with all I have, raise my hands to worship you. I want to say thank you. Oh, thank you for everything, for who you are. You covered me and touched my heart. I want to say thank you. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for the rain. Now this is the solo part where there's music. But my thing doesn't work. So please clap your hands.
Everybody hum.
Clap your hands. So
I won't say thank you.
Oh Lord, I love you. That's all I can say. Thank you for the love you gave. Sorry about that. Here I am with all I have, raise my hands to worship you. I want to say thank you, oh yeah, oh thank you, yeah, for everything, for who you are. You covered me and touched my heart, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you, oh yeah. I want to say thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise okay. God. She said it's a real emotional day for her today because... Well, before I get started, when you see the toothpick come out, what do? Turn your minds on, open up your hearts, and turn your cell phones off or down. It's an emotional day for her. somewhat for me, a very thankful day for me, because 2 years ago is when my heart stopped, actually. I died. Bill, he's my sidekick here, Bill. He's saying, did you see the light? And I said, no. You know, but, you know, I couldn't. 3 days later, I was back in church preaching. The pastor said, I don't know if I should ask you, Paul. I go, yeah, because I love to, thank you. I love teaching and preaching, and, you know, that's where God's gifted me. Everybody's, you know, got some gift. And when we all work together, that's how the body gets built up. So with that, today is, I can't believe it, 4/14, 2019, and it's the middle of April, and we got snow out there. So just think, though our sins were scarlet, they're white as snow. That's what I think about the snow, because I don't like the cold. And anyway, I'm going to open up in prayer, and we're going to get right to it. And I was, you know, I've been trying to do three. We're teaching this series. I'm teaching this series. And you're hopefully with me. You know, if Bill, he's pretty good. He falls asleep sometimes. Acts like he's praying for me. But I think I'm only going to get one in today. I've been trying to get three in, and that's fine. And what we're going to teach is one of our spiritual blessings is we have freedom from the law. Sometime, as grace believers, we know about this stuff, but we don't dwell on it, and we don't sometimes appreciate it like we should, because we're not under legalism, you know. And I think people really appreciate it. I know I was under legalism for years. Some have been brought up in a grace, with grace teaching in a church, but when you've been on the other side, you really understand the difference and you appreciate it. So I'm going to open up with prayer, and we'll get right into looking at the law. And hopefully it'll stir our hearts with even more passion to serve the Lord, because we're not under law. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for allowing me to be here from 2 years ago. I could have been gone. To be absent from the body, to be present with your son. But like Paul said, it's more needful that you've taught me a lot about your grace, Father, through your word and sound pastors, grace teachers. And so you invested a lot in me, and I just want to offer everything I am, Father, to you. I thank you that I know you can use me and every single one of us who's trusted in your son, because we're totally righteous in him. So may your Holy Spirit as always be the real teacher here. And just use me today to bless, Father. May your spirit illumine every heart and mind here. Let it not just stay in our head, but get to our deep within our hearts, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, wipe my eyes out a little bit here. The older I get, the more, I don't know. My dad was like that too, get more emotional. But I'm really thankful, you know. Thankful for Bill. He almost, you know, he's mad. He really wanted to go. But if you think about it, every day that we have here is such a blessing. We go through things. We face things, right, as believers. But there's lost people here. We got the answer. Christ is the answer for every problem in the world. You know, so God leaves us behind, and we're going to go through things, health things, emotional problems sometimes, marriage problems, kids problems, money problems, right, honey? But we'll be rewarded for everything we go through here. You know, Paul talks about our light afflictions when compared to on that day when we go before Christ and in heaven. And he talks about the weight of the glory. I believe that's going to be you know, old rabbis believed that Adam was clothed in God's glory. How did he know he was naked? Right? Because the Holy Spirit left him when he sinned. God said, you know, if you eat a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And so when the Holy Spirit left, the image of God left. And so we have now God's Spirit in us, but we're going to get new bodies. And I think the new bodies are going to be able to, God will, not outwardly, from within, His Spirit reflect His light and His glory. And so we got that to look forward to, you know. But while we're here, let's redeem the time, right? Let's not waste it. So that's what I'm going to do right now. We're going to look at, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to go to verse 1. We're going to go up a little bit, I think, first, but that's where I kind of want to start in. But Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. This is where Moses is given the law. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Was that 3 on? She told me, because I've been saying 2, she says, no, you should say it 3 times. I go, hey, I'm saying it 2 at least. So today I did 3. Be a nice husband. She saved my life, so. If it wasn't for her taking me to the hospital, because I wasn't going to go because we didn't have insurance. And she tricked me. Okay, I guess I should go to, instead of 18, 28. You ever get a new Bible? Okay. I want to kind of back up, but I didn't write down. Let me just kind of give you a background before this starts. When Moses, when God was going to give the law, there was, I want you to picture this, because sometimes we read the Bible and we're just reading it. We're not studying it. We're not, is Jake up here? Chris, would you give me my hanky from, you know, I hate to kind of have my nose running up while I'm preaching. Anyway, picture this. You're in the nation Israel, okay? A couple of you's got big noses, so I'm not looking at, you know, you can, you know, Jewish people are known for that. So put yourself in it. Yeah, hopefully nobody, if you're Jewish and has a big nose, it's humor. Anyway, so you're a Jew, and you're all crowded out here, right? God's given the law. There's thunderings, I mean loud. The ground's shaking. There's smoke on this mountain. Can you imagine it? What'd they tell Moses? You go up there. They didn't want to go. See, fear was the motivation of the law. You know, the fear of the Lord. You'll see that a lot in the Old Testament. Fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom. And now it depends. Here, it's there. It was real fear. A lot of times that word, the fear, is an awesome respect, the fear of the Lord. You know, and we should have that. We don't fear the Lord punishing us because he punished Christ, but we should have this awesome respect for God. You know, sometimes grace believers were so, like I said, busy battling lordship salvation that, you know, like a friend, I won't mention name, on Facebook is like, you can't out-sin God's grace. That's true. But watch it. Because sin under grace is still wrong. You know, and so, yeah, God's not going to punish us. But we want to honor him. You know, we want to glorify Christ, adorn the way, what does Paul say about women? dress adorned. That means look attractive. It doesn't say look homely when you think you're looking holy, you know? Thank you.
It's right here.
Oh. Anyway, we need to have that awesome respect for our Heavenly Father too. So let's look at Deuteronomy 28, but I want to give you that picture. And this is, God gave the law to who? Moses at Mount Sinai for who? The nation Israel. It was never given to the Gentiles. So here's what, this is God's requirements. And watch the wording. You had to keep it perfectly. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently, think of diligently, the word means, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and to observe, to do, try and do your best. Is that what it says? No, it says, all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations on the earth. Who's this to? The nation Israel, right? And all these blessings shall come on thee. And this, that word in overtake has the idea, I believe, of like an animal overtaking a wolf, you know, a lion overtaking an antelope. They're just going to chase them down. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So if they kept the law, now if we went through all these, I wouldn't have the timing if, you know, if I didn't get her later. They're overall, Israel's blessings are physical. You know, they do have, like the majority of theirs was physical, though they do, like in the new covenant, that's spiritual, right? I'll give you a new heart, you know, and you know, heart of flesh, not stone. So for us, what does Paul say? You're blessed in Ephesians 1:3. That's what we're going through. That's what this series is built upon, our spiritual blessings. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ, right? So the body of Christ, the majority of our blessings are spiritual. But watch, because some grace teachers don't think we should pray about physical things. They don't think, you know, everything is spiritual. Well, the majority of our blessings are spiritual in nature. But isn't this a physical book? It's a spiritual book. When we do communion, that's a physical thing God uses to give a spiritual picture. It says God will meet all of our needs. I see in Corinthians talking about how God supplies seed to the farmer or sower. That's physical things. So we should be praying for everything. Be anxious for nothing but by prayer. What? With supplication. We should be praying about everything. That's physical. Shouldn't we pray for each other when we're sick? Yep. We're not guaranteed healing.
No.
Don't believe the TV preachers, you know. But what I did when I was in the hospital, I said, Lord, I'd appreciate it if you heal me. Now I was in pain for months. And I said, but I pray your will be done. And any way it goes, whether you heal me or not, because I know you ain't promised me, go to Paul's epistles. You don't get, you know, that's where we get our promises, our instruction. Paul never says that we're guaranteed healing. Or I should take that back. At the rapture, we're guaranteed. We're going to have new bodies, you know. And the older we get, young people don't think that much. Ain't you glad you're getting a new body?
Amen.
You know, these aches and pains, and you know. It's like, I was joking with Mary, I said, I'll probably have had a thick hair. But I thought about it, I says, you know, here we got to deal with fleshly thoughts, right? We have a new nature that's completely righteous. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. But Paul talks about the old nature. And so in heaven, we won't have that sin nature. No vanity, no pride. That's what I look forward to, even as much as not never having sickness is I won't have to deal with that sin nature anymore. You know, we'll just be so focused, and it's just going to be, you know, glorious. So anyway, now they would get blessed, as we saw that, if they kept all the law, right? But look in verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do how many? All his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So, under law, what's the idea you're getting there? It's my old pastor Kirkwood, you remember, he used to call it the carrot and stick of the law. If you do good, here's your carrot, piece of candy. But if you don't, you know, I'm going to take it to the woodshed, you know. Under grace, we don't do things to get things from God. It's a completely different motivation. We do things out of gratitude. Paul talks about, you know, again, grace believers, you really got to be balanced. That's why I'm really glad I've been under, and I've listened to and learned from good, sound pastors and grace teachers. I got a good balance, I think, with grace. We serve God not to get something. You don't give in the offering to get. You give because you want the work to go on. You want to see other people understand. One thing, souls being saved, right? For the gospel to go out. But how about believers that are burdened in legalism? Do you know what a religion, where they get that word from? It comes from the Latin. And the idea is a return to bondage. Yeah, that's what religion is. You're in bondage. See, Paul says, sin shall not be your master. Why? Because you're not under law, you're under grace. Get yourself under law or any type. What is the law? A performance-based system. You can put yourself under your own legalism. Are you measuring up to what you think where you should be at? I mean, we do got to evaluate ourselves, I think, sometimes. The Holy Spirit, he never condemns us. But I think he will show areas that we're not walking consistent. The Holy Spirit inspired this word, right? Paul writes about, you know, don't... What's that verse? Kirkwood, we went to the same church. Don't allow a beachhead for the flesh. I can't think what it is. Don't allow an area in our lives where the flesh can get a hold on, is the idea. You know, we have to be careful. But when, if you get yourself under legalism, you're going to feel God as, have I done enough, right? Have I done enough or have I done too much of the bad stuff? And under grace, you know who you are if you study. You're holy without blemish, perfect in God's sight. That's a gift. So now, see, when I was under legalism, I used to do good for months, you know, and then I would mess up. And then I would feel condemned, like God's disgusted with me. And I would go back out and start doing drugs. You would have said I wasn't saved. You say, oh, a Christian can't do that. Oh, no. Read about the Corinthians, some of the things they did, you know. And what I would do, I would feel so guilty and condemned. And I went through real bad depression. I wanted to die. Like, and it was a spiritual thing. Satan just, you know, he tempts you. He works through the flesh. Then he condemns you, right? So I would just say, forget it. You know, I'm sick of trying. And well, when I came to understand grace and my identity in Christ, you know, they say, watch that grace stuff. You'll teach people to just go out and sin, right? Nah. Grace made me grow and mature. And when I do mess up, I don't do drugs anymore, but we all mess up somewhere, come up short. Right, Bill?
Yeah.
in some areas. Well, here's the thing. You don't got to get all self-condemned. You say, I got no excuse. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I got no excuse for what I did, but I don't have to keep doing it. A big difference. See, I remember I had went years, I don't know, 10 years without doing drugs. And one night, and this is years and years ago, let's say the last week, okay. I messed up. And I thought, I wasn't mad. I had no excuse. So I called my dad up and said, Dad, because I didn't want to just tell him when I'm doing good. You know, like, you're not being real, you know. And I said, I can't believe what I did, Dad. And he goes, Paul, welcome to the world. That's why God made erasers. People make mistakes. But I realized I didn't have to keep doing it, whereas before I would just keep doing it because I felt so condemned. So understanding grace and the difference along grace helps you to be freed from that. So you can see yourself as God sees you and walk consistent with that. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:56. Get a little Pentecost on you. You know how many churches today are teaching in the name of Christianity, how many denominations, that God, the law helps you to live holy? Just try and keep it. Didn't we read? It didn't say try, did he? God said do it. Do it. Do it. You know? Now, what is grace? And I urge you, in view of God's mercies, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That's holy and acceptable to God when you worship him. And he made you holy and acceptable. So you know he can use you. Ain't that wonderful to know you can be used by God? You know, it's not wonderful to know I can just get away with sin because God's not going to punish me. That's very immature. That's somebody who don't understand grace. Grace matures you, you know. So let's look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15:56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So does the law help you to live holy? No, it's the strength of sin. Is anything wrong with the law? Because people go, oh, you know, just like they accuse Paul of. If you're teaching grace, they should be accusing you of the same things they accuse Paul of. Oh, you're saying the law is sin? No, Paul said it's holy, it's just, it's good. But the problem is, that good, holy, just law, it tells your flesh is rebellious. It says, don't. And what's a rebel do? Watch me. Or the law says, you got to keep me perfect. Smell my smoke? I'm going to do it. That's religious flesh. But the power of sin's in the law. Get yourself under legalism. You're going to be under the power of the old sin nature. Get yourself under grace. And we realize Romans 6. You died with Christ. You were buried. You rose. Remember, we just went over that one. That's three of our spiritual blessings. You died with Christ, who you were in Adam. You were buried, never to come back. And you rose with Christ. And not only did you rise, what we learned last time, you're not only... He's in you by resurrection now, but we're ascended with him. We're seated with him in heavenly places, high above all principality and power. You talk about powerful? Resurrection power, man. You know, to me, I keep praying, Lord, I want to, like Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to really know that. If we get a hold of that, imagine what we can do in our church. And as individuals and as the body working together when everybody does their part. You know, that's powerful. That's resurrection life, you know. And sometimes we sit around, you know, let me keep going. I got to be stopping. Go to Galatians 5, 1 to 4. Back up. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Not back up. Go forward. Don't backslide, you sinners. This is Paul, our apostle, with our instructions, right? And now we're not under law, right? Romans 6:14. Since you'll not have dominion over you because you're not under law, but you're under grace. Well, if you're not under law, what do you mean you're under grace? We got instructions. Paul says, anyone who thinks himself to be spiritual or a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge, I give you the commands of Christ. You know, in Paul's epistles, there's over 300 commands for us. There's promises for us. He shows us how to walk in the Spirit. That's directly to us and about us. Praise God that we understand that. But it's one thing to understand something and one thing to apply it, appropriate it by faith. That's when you really start maturing. When you start, none of us do it perfect, all right? But you develop what I call holy habits. You start applying this in your life. Pretty soon you're doing it without thinking about it. Now God brings you to this. Pretty soon you were here in your walk. You're up here because you start applying it. It's not just coming to church, sitting down, taking your brain, or opening up your brain. Some churches, their brains fall out. They're so open-minded, you know. So it's taking what we're learning. What about giving thanks in all things? When you're going through something, you start giving thanks in all things, right? What about meditate on these things? Do we do it? Do it. I don't know why I'm doing it. All right, I'm going to end with, we're going to go to Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. I'll end here. Stand fast. Don't back up. Don't move back. Stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty, this freedom, wherewith Christ has set us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's talking about the law. It's a yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, see, our apostle, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Why? Why is he saying that? I always ask, why is he saying this? What's that mean? See, they thought if they could do something, they're going to be more spiritual, right? Today they would say, get baptized, right? It wouldn't be circumcision. You know, you'll grow if you get baptized. I heard a pastor saying, you know, until they got baptized, they weren't really growing. Well, when you almost drown them, they get scared and they're going to do what you want. So, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. See, the law, God, there was what, 330, I think, commands under law. The 10 were built, you know, people say, oh, we're not under the governmental laws and the ceremonial laws, but we're under 10 commandments. No, it's one whole. We're not under any of it. We're under grace, and we got our own commands. Here's, if you get yourself under law, a performance-based system, legalism, Christ is become of no effect on you. You know what that means? To be rendered inactive, no effect. Christ is not producing, his spirit in you is not producing fruit. Get yourself under legalism. And that's what's happening in a whole lot of Christendom out there. They're walking in the flesh, performing outwardly. You know, some of them churches, they all dress in white. Ooh, they got to really be holy, right? he says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are. And this idea, justified by law. So the idea is they're attempting to be justified by the law. They're attempting to clean their flesh up to be acceptable to God. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And I'm just going to read 6 and we're going to close. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. So none outwardly, okay? Baptism, not baptism. But what counts with God? But faith with which worketh by love. Some other translations say faith expressing itself by love, energizing by love. That's what God's want to do. That's what grace will produce in you. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Get under law, all you're going to do is a performance-based, cold, you could become a Pharisee, the best you could be under law. Under grace, you could become a Paul, or Paula, for you ladies. Let's pray. I'm sorry I went over a couple minutes. But we are under grace, aren't we? Help you apply forgiveness. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to rightly divide your word so we know we're not under law. That it's not being afraid of you that makes us want to serve you or be obedient to you, to present ourselves to you. It's grace, it's your mercies, it's your love that makes us want to serve you, Father. And I think that's what you're looking for. You're looking for hearts that serve you out of love, not because you're going to punish them. So I thank you for allowing us to serve you out of love, Father. I pray if there's one, maybe here or listening on the video or the CDs, if they've never trusted in Christ, they didn't even understand probably what I'm teaching this morning. I pray that they would recognize they're a sinner, condemned under law. You gave 10 things to tell someone that I'll give you eternal life if you can keep these 10 things perfect. And all the law could do is slay us and show us in the law's knowledge of sin, Father. So I pray that they'll come to Christ for his provision and trust that he died for their sins, was buried and rose. And for us, Father, I pray that I know it don't seem like I did a real good job this morning, but I don't depend on myself. It's your Spirit that takes your word and works. But I pray that your word works in us this week when the pastor teaches and we apply your word, Father, that we might grow and glorify your Son. In Jesus' name I pray.